Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. As the National Aeronautics and Space Administration celebrates its 50th year, it retains one of the most complex and exciting missions in the federal government. With its cutting-edge research in aeronautics, space science, and earth science, NASA expands our knowledge of the universe and applies these insights to our daily lives. A few years ago, President George Bush gave NASA a defining challenge for the 21st century: to expand human presence in space. The success of this ambitious vision rests on NASA's pursuit of an effective information technology strategy. With us this morning to discuss NASA's critical efforts in this regard is Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning.
Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayata, partner in IBM's General Government Practice. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Al. Good morning, Jonathan.
Jonathan, many of our listeners are probably generally familiar with NASA, given its wide public recognition, but could you take a few moments to provide us an overview of NASA's history and its mission today?
Sure. What we like to say is that we're about pioneering the future of space exploration, scientific discovery, and aeronautics research. So if you think about really what we do, it's really about innovation and exploration and in part inspiration in terms of the human desire to explore and discover. Many, especially those of us who work at NASA, find that to be inspirational, and we believe the public does as well in general. In terms of our history, this is a particularly important year to our history because it's our 50th anniversary, and the roots of NASA date back to 1958 when the agency was spawned, in part as a reaction to the launch of Sputnik. Of course, from there, the 60s were about getting to the moon, the Apollo program, building on Mercury, Gemini, and then ultimately Apollo. And so that era that so many people are familiar with and one of our greatest achievements, man reaching the moon, is obviously something we're very proud of. But NASA has had a broad history beyond just that. And in fact, from there, we moved into, in the 70s, a focus on, you may recall Skylab, which was that early version of an orbiting laboratory for experimentation, as well as the actually beginning of the development of the space shuttle program during that era, along with many different scientific missions. For example, the Voyager missions, which basically spanned the solar system and actually continues on out beyond the solar system in terms of those two spacecraft. Then again in the 80s, where the shuttle program moved into full-fledged operations, as well as continuing, you know, many different science missions. And then the development and then construction of Space Station, which is an international partnership including 16 countries. And you really see of late the international flavor of the space station as you've seen European components be launched and assembled. And, of course, we have a significant partnership with Russia in terms of the operation and habitation of the space station. So we focus a lot on human space flight, but I should mention the scientific missions, the robotic missions like most people would be familiar with our Mars rover projects and the fact that the amazing lifespan of those rovers that are still operational on the Martian surface. Then with our full portfolio of science missions, and many people probably don't know this, we have over 50 or so science missions, either in flight or in preparation to fly. So our portfolio of projects at NASA is about these very large, long-term human spaceflight efforts like Shuttle Station, and you mentioned the president's plan and strategy for us to begin to work to return to the moon and then on to Mars with humans, as well as a large set of smaller scientific missions. With the aeronautics research, the scientific discovery, and the human spaceflight, those are the major themes within NASA and really what we're about from our earliest days.
Well, that's certainly a very broad portfolio of missions, and certainly NASA is about making history in all those events and accomplishments that you mentioned. So to help provide our audience a sense of scale, can you just tell us a little bit about how NASA is organized, the size of its budget, number of full-time employees and contractors, and perhaps its geographic footprint?
Yeah, I can start with the numbers, give you a little bit of information about our organization. We have roughly 17,000 government employees, civil servants, and then around 40,000 contractors, contractor partners, which are a huge part of how we accomplish our mission at NASA. Our budget's roughly $17 billion annually. Our geographic footprint really consists of 10 major locations. We call them centers, spread throughout the country, with headquarters in Washington, D.C., and your listeners will be familiar with some of our major centers like Johnson Space Center. We're in Houston, Texas, where Mission Control for Shuttle and Station operate out of. Of course, Kennedy Space Center is another example down at Cape Canaveral where we launch from, as well as centers like Ames Research Center out in the west, out on the West Coast, which has a major role in our scientific programs as well as supporting some of our human spaceflight efforts. So in all, 10 centers spread throughout the country, all headquartered in D.C.
So now that you've given us a great sense of the larger organization, could you tell us a little bit about your role as NASA's Chief Information Officer? And could you tell us a little bit about your organization also, how you're organized, size of your staff, budget?
Yes. Of course, the Chief Information Officer role is the senior-most IT official in the agency, responsible for IT policy. I'm responsible for the agency's IT infrastructure, our data centers, networks, end-user devices, those components that make up our infrastructure, as well as facilitating and architecting our overall applications landscape, our systems that are used to automate business processes and to exchange information, store information, and obviously, especially in this day and age, also responsible for information technology security, information security for all of those assets. Then in terms of our organization, we have a federated model for our IT organization. Here in headquarters, our office consists of about 50 employees. But across the agency, we have each of those sites that I mentioned has a chief information officer. That's part of our IT community, and I coordinate the efforts of those IT officials across the agency. The total workforce across the agency consists of about 700 NASA civil servants and about 2,000 contractors.
That's an expansive purview. I'm sure in that responsibility, there are many challenges that you face. Could you highlight perhaps the top three and what you're doing to address them?
Sure. Well, it is a challenging responsibility, as you state. I'd say there are many challenges. It's hard to hone in on three specific ones, but I'll give it a try. First is ensuring that, given the expansive nature of our and diversity of our overall mission and programs, ensuring that our IT investments are focused on enabling the mission. And so in our federated model, making sure that we have at least enough visibility of IT decisions that are made and ensure that there's some consistency around infrastructure, then interoperability from an application and infrastructure perspective is a significant sort of overarching challenge. And many of the other challenges fall from that. So a second challenge, sort of related, is that our tradition at NASA is for those centers to be very autonomous, and the work profile in the past and our history has been much more focused on specific sort of big footprint roles for each of those centers. Whereas with our future and the role of what we call our exploration program coming from President Bush's mandate to NASA to develop the plan to return to the moon and then to move further into the solar system in terms of human exploration, the model going forward is for our agency to collaborate and to leverage resources that exist across those centers in a much more granular way. So from a CIO perspective, what that means is that our organizational model and our style of how we execute our programs is changing. And so from a CIO standpoint, that has an impact on our IT strategy, which is ensuring that IT is a key tool in helping that integration, collaboration across those center boundaries. And then the third challenge is, given our role at NASA, you know, if you think about what we're about, which is creating knowledge, sharing information for the advancement of humankind, then we're all about openness in terms of our information and systems. But we also have the challenge of security and securing the information. So balancing this need that's fundamental to our mission to share information and to collaborate with academia, education at the lower levels, with our business partners and with the public at large, while also ensuring that we have the appropriate level of security on some very important national assets is a big challenge.
It's certainly a delicate balance to strike between those two. Now, Jonathan, I understand that you've been with NASA now for about roughly about 17 years, but you didn't necessarily start in government. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
I can. My first job was a high school math and history teacher and a basketball coach. Started out for a couple of years, at least in education. My parents were both teachers. So I knew I was interested in teaching. I also loved basketball in particular. And so thought I would, my plan all along was to actually get an education that would allow me to have some mobility between, you know, my number one thought, which was to follow in my parents' footsteps and be a teacher, and then also be able to move into the technology field. And so I earned a degree in computer science and a master's degree in computer science, along with degrees that would allow me to teach. So I started out as a school teacher, and then I gave a technology a try with a job. My first job in technology was with a software firm that developed human resources and benefits systems for the private sector, and I did that for about a year. And then I moved over to an aerospace company that was a contractor for NASA, and that's how I got into the NASA business. And so I worked on payload integration software for our space shuttle program as a contractor. And then finally moved over to the government side about 17 years ago when I first came to work for NASA and came into the IT organization down at Marshall Space Flight Center, which is in Huntsville, Alabama.
So as you kind of reflect back on some of these experiences and some of these decisions, how do you feel they reflect your current management approach and your leadership style?
It's a good question. I think that, and again, this may be surprising to some, but I like to say, you know, as I think back about it, I think this gets truer every year, is that, you know, that first 2 years when I was a teacher right out of college and a basketball coach, the skills I developed in terms of communication, teamwork, how to coach kids into not all wanting to shoot the ball, but some being willing to pass the ball up, you know, and set screens so that teammates might be able to score. That whole sort of environment and experience, I can translate that into, you know, what I've been challenged to do through my career in IT and the government. You know, as important as understanding technology is to that, I think I believe this more strongly again every year, is that relationships and communication and teamwork are the keys to success in IT, probably as they are in any endeavor. And so what I learned there was really important. I think having a job in IT in the private sector taught me a little bit about business, even though I was in that job for a short time, but just, you know, gave me a sense of what it was like in the private sector from a business perspective. And then working as a NASA contractor was really important for me because my job at NASA is so much about working with our contractors and partners, given the size of our IT workforce that's made up of so many contractors. I think having that experience on that side of the fence has been very useful to me to maybe understand, you know, all the perspectives.
That's a great set of lessons. Thank you. So what is NASA's IT strategy? We will ask Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.